WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As you can tell, I am not the producer. So the producer has been relegated to the back room for this week. I got the call-up from NXT, which is very fitting for this week. So I'll be kind of helping steer the ship tonight. Yay! For those who don't know, I am the intern, Kane Kittens. Joining tonight, we have one Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello, I'm glad I didn't get called up. I don't know how to drive a ship.
No, you still got onto the Evolve television show.
Yay! So
you're getting up there. You're getting up there. And also joining us is the one and only Tim Stein.
What? No call up or anything like that? What's going on?
You're already called up. You're already here.
Oh, I'm pre-called up.
You were already on the roster.
Am I the legacy?
Well, maybe not that kind of legacy, but a legacy, sure.
Maybe a different kind of legacy?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, cool. Well, let's kick it off. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv. /WTR Live. We got a chat room and people are in it, and we're kind of interactive. So if you post stuff and say things in the chat room, we do read it, and some of us sometimes even respond to you. So if you're listening anywhere on the World Wide Web, come and join us at twitch.tv/WTR Live. Hi, Lindsay. Lindsay's here. She's in the chat room.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
There you go. We got a three-way. Hi, Lindsay. Yay.
She's not distracted by AEW this week, so that's later in the month, next month.
I'm distracted by hockey playoffs.
I'm waiting for the comment that's coming in chat.
4, 3, 2, 1. Nope, guess not.
All right. Well, this week was certainly eventful in the world of pro wrestling. We had news. Yep. We had our post-mania Raw, which is always a fun sight. We had a bunch of NXT call-ups, and we had a bunch of non-call-ups that took place.
The annual post-mania releases.
Yeah, TKO decided to rear its ugly head, and we had some of those. But
it's pretty much a yearly thing, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we had a lot of big storylines hitting Raw, SmackDown, NXT. So, Keish, I'm going to pose to you to start us off. What's the biggest storyline for you coming out of Postmania that you saw on screen?
On screen?
Yeah.
What,
all the stuff that was presented this week, what's the one thing that kind of had you going, ooh?
I mean, Obafemi's promo on Monday was awesome. It was kind of, I don't know, like, I think Lindsay and Rock kind of touched on it a little bit on Monday. It was like the most current version of Roman Reigns' It's My Yard Now, but with a little bit more impact.
So that was kind of well.
Yes, and it went over well. It was nice to see some call-ups. Sol Ruka popping out on Raw was nice. Not quite the way that some of us were wanting to, a la the AJ Lee Page call-up from years ago, but still a good showing. And it did. I like that Zarya kind of got involved to sort of maybe get some of those like mainstream Raw audience to maybe tune into NXT to see, you know, the match that happened the night after. So that was kind of nice. I thought like Raw itself did a really good job of like starting, like, you know, bringing up some new people, finishing off some stuff that maybe didn't get completely resolved at Mania, sort of showing the direction that people who kind of finished some things up at Mania were going. So yeah, Raw was good. SmackDown did some good stuff with call-ups too. I'm impressed that the entire Fatal Influence got called up at the same time. I think that's a good call. JC Jane, yeah. I think she does a lot better with a group. So I think having all three of them come up at the same time was good.
I was going to say, and I said this when we were talking about like possible call-ups, I've been a long proponent of, if JC Jane came up by herself, the other two would not be long for the world. No disrespect to Fallon Henley or Lacey, but it's just, they don't have the legs under them to be able to survive without Fallon or without JC right now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's good. So like, they're not going to be left like figuring out what to do on NXT. They have that confidence of being in a group that, you know, those two might be able to find their footing on the main roster a little bit easier than they would have if they broke up the group. So that was good.
I really like Sammy, the fact that they made them an impactful faction coming in too.
Yeah, like right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, usually when they appear, it's one of those, like, okay, you may have like a Mean Girls kind of, like, oh, we're going to put you all on notice, and then nothing really happens. But these three came in and wrecked some shit up on SmackDown. They did not hesitate who they went after.
No, they came into the yard and called out the big dog. So, but yeah, Sammy and Trick, like, continuing that story was good because, like, not everything gets wrapped up at Mania. So it was nice that they kind of, like, addressed some things that may have been left in the air, might have been resolved, but obviously they were not. I kind of like the setup of it too. It was a nice change of pace as opposed to just having him come out and be like, oh, this didn't happen and that didn't happen, I want a rematch. At least this way, with the big attack on Trick, it might, like, you know, it might goad him into a rematch, which is kind of it's a nice segue for Sammy's character to kind of like fully transition into heel.
And they kept everything going with that storyline, the fact that he was the gingerbread man.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It wasn't that random, like, bear popping up, like, in the Miz stuff, and you're just like, wait, what's this? It's like, no, we've seen this thing around, and you're just waiting for, like, something to happen, and then it's like, yep, he's hiding under it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I thought, all the, you know, the two main shows were really good as far as, like, setting up and keeping things going. So that was nice. It was nice to see sort of like a little bit of a tease of Roman and Jacob, like not necessarily being like, I want next, but showing that, hey, this is coming. We're not going to tell you when, but we just want to let everybody know that it's coming. And so that was nice. Like, not just having him kind of right out of the gate come into it. So then there's a little bit of teasing, a little bit of setup, a little bit of things resolved. And NXT did a little bit of stuff like that too. They did a good job like wrapping up Sol and Zarya. Hopefully Sol is not like injured for a long period of time, because that would
that spot was wicked.
Yeah, well, and like I liked the setup for it. It was kind of nice that they sort of got their moment of like, you know, a quote unquote proper goodbye with each other, but then like finishing it with finality of like Zarya pushing her off that platform. It was a nice full circle moment from the ladder match. It was a nice way to sort of like, this is it, we are done, off you go. So, you know, everything about that was nice. The casket match was good. It was a nice way to sort of, which we found out later on Friday, to send Blake Monroe up to SmackDown. It's an interesting way to leave NXT, but at least you don't have to, like, you get that rubber match resolution of, okay, she's gone, it's over, we'll see what Tatum moves on to after that. So all that was really good. I thought everything flowed nicely. All three shows did a really good job of capitalizing on their post-Mania, like, first shows of the week.
Yeah. I think you touched on a lot of high points. I think there was a couple of others that happened. I think the setting the seed of Cody and Punk was a really nice kind of thing where, like, kind of like what you said with Jacob. With Jacob, I think it feels a little bit more immediate, the fact of like he's trying to call his shot right now.
Yeah, you can tell that like his is like, I'm coming for it, but it's like, I'm coming for it soon. Cody and Punk is like, I see you, and I just want you to know that I see you, and maybe, just maybe, every once in a while, you should look over your shoulder to see if I'm there.
Yeah, Jacob's was the more immediate, like, I want to come for this, and Roman's like, I want you to think about what you're doing before you make that, you know, before we step into this.
Yeah.
And with Punk and Cody, it was, like you said, it's not the immediacy, but it's that, like, when you want it, you call your shot, and we'll do this. And you saw Punk with that smile, like, all right, you're laying that out, just put, you know, don't regret it later, is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah,
because we know if Punk's going for it, he's going to go full bore, and he, much like Roman, is not going to hold back on Cody because it's Cody.
Yeah,
and we saw teases of that during that first Royal Rumble that Punk was in, when he's talking about, you know, he's talking to Cody while he's doing stuff, and ultimately Punk got chucked over the top, but it was that thing of like, he kind of bordered a little bit on heel during that moment where he was like, your dad's not here to save you. And it's like, you know, you heard that on the mic, you kind of went, oh, wait a minute. But it also gets you intrigued to see these two top stars, and the fact that when they do meet, it's not just going to be a Raw. It's not going to be, you know, Clash in Italy. No offense to those shows, but like, that's your SummerSlam matchup if you want it.
Yeah.
Or Mania 43 in Saudi if you really wanted it.
Yeah.
So Raw had that. I did like Saul coming out to Liv. As you said, and as we talked about last week, I really hoped that they would have tried to do the Paige thing, because I thought that would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
But I also understand maybe why not. And the fact that, as you said, Zarya got involved and made you kind of like, oh, maybe I want to see this resolve tomorrow night, pulled you more towards watching NXT with that. SmackDown was good. NXT, one of the things I want to touch on is, yeah, they wrote off a couple of people. You had the Soul write off going through the table, and hopefully, you know, not too bad with her head hitting the second table. You also had the write-off of Joe Hendry in a really interesting way.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Where Keanu Carver just basically beat him into submission, and he's going to write off to Raw that way.
It is one way to go.
Yeah, but also it's one of those things of, like, with some of the people that we saw, you know, Blake, you kind of knew she wasn't going to be down there, I think, for too long, because she has the popularity to be like, okay, she can get up to the main roster and make an impact.
Yeah.
With Joe Hendry, he's got the connection with the fans. The fans, and also, like, you've got Danhausen for fan appeal. You can also do Joe Hendry, because everyone's going to get up and do the hand wave. Everyone jumps up for the meme song. He's going to be fine. Is he going to be a main eventer? No. But he's going to carve his niche out.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things coming into NXT is, because you've had so many people move up, Ricky Starks, who's someone that I had heard rumors that CW wanted to at least keep down there for a little while to have, you know, somewhat of a presence there. He's getting called up to SmackDown next week.
Yeah. Well, and Ethan Page too, right? Like, but I mean, Ethan kind of did everything he could do down there, so like his call up wasn't super surprising. I like that they kind of he did what he needed to do down there, and now it's time to bring him up. I think he kind of it was good for him to kind of have that time down there to kind of I think he was kind of saying in an interview where he's like, "Well, what I was doing didn't seem to be working. So yeah, tell me what you want me to do and I will do it to be to kind of get myself to that next level." And he went to NXT, he did that, and now it is time for him to come up to the main roster.
Yeah, and he does a really good job at being a cocky heel, so it's like he can kind of fill that Miz role if you need him to, of like he's going to be the guy that you love to just see get punched.
Yes.
Puts himself in that position of like, I want to see him just get decked. And it's like, okay, cool. And I think putting him in with someone he's had experience with in terms of Javon Evans was a nice kind of ease in, because they've had matches together. They've had chemistry. So if you're going to put him on Monday Night Raw and give him, you know, 7-10 minutes, they can fill it really easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Javon got beat up by Rusev. So Rusev's going for the IC title, it looks like.
Yep.
So, Tim, from what you've heard, was there, you know, are any of these kinds of storylines kind of jumping out at you, seem interesting moving forward?
No, I'm interested in what's going on with Roman Reigns and
Jacob
Fatu. And I see this culminating in the match of Backlash, because this just seems like they want to get this pushed through so they can set up the long game.
Yeah,
whoever Roman's long game opponent might wind up being.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that, like we touched on with Mania, that the Usos aren't fully attached at the hip. They're there because I think Jacob's there, but I'm hoping it's that kind of thing like, all right, cool, the four of us are all here, and then as soon as the match is over, like, peace, you do your thing.
But that's the one thing that I'm going to be short-term invested in the most. Really. Now, even though I didn't really get a chance to catch wrestling this week, just it's been a very hectic week. I do know some of the things that have happened. It's no secret that they were going to put Cody and Punk together at some point, and they were going to start that off, you know, like the first show after WrestleMania. Question is, are the fans in general and us in particular verging on Cody burnout by this point?
It's hard to say, because I think a little bit, but I think if you did a big program with Punk, people would be invested in it. Now, they may also turn on him and want Punk as the champion, so...
Yeah, well, that was the other thing I was going to bring up. Who are you going to turn heel? I mean, yeah, you know, babyface match, babyface versus babyface, good guy versus good guy. It sells to the crowd better than heel versus heel. But I don't see them doing that with this. And, you know, that leads to the question, who are they turning? Immediately, your first thought is Punk, because he's great as a heel. He really is. But when was the last time Cody was a heel? It was long before he went to AEW.
Yeah, like Bullet Club.
Yep, way back when in the olden days. In the olden days, as it were. So it's been a long time coming. And if they turn Cody, I'm on board with it.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, Punk is at that point in his career where he's verging on the nostalgia act. And you never go full heel with the nostalgia act.
Chris Jericho.
And if you do, it's tongue-in-cheek, right?
Not so much so. Chris Jericho.
Chris who? Chris who?
Chris, who has a long name that's officially trademarked now, apparently.
And him on what is it, HLW or whatever video interview show is online, where he talks about, his current character is becoming a nostalgia act, so he's changing it up. And you know, give it to Jericho, he's been very good at refreshing his character every time his current one kind of crosses that line. So,
we talked about the big storylines. Kate, so we mentioned some of the call-ups that have happened this week. We had Ethan Page. We're getting Joe Hendry next week with a concert, I believe.
And we've got Sol Ruka.
Sol Ruka.
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction on SmackDown.
Ricky Starks is coming to SmackDown.
Ricky Starks, Blake Monroe. Pretty big call-up list from NXT, and I think it's going to be one of those kinds of like, all right, the current crop of NXT now needs to sink or swim, because you've pulled a lot of the big people that have been running the show for, what, the past 6 months?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've got the champion in Tony D'Angelo. You've got Miles Bourne, who's fighting Dark State and Dark State's eventual implosion. You've got Lola Vice leading the women's division, but she's got a couple of challengers lined up. But of that group that got called up, what was your biggest surprise, do you think? Or which one were you kind of most looking forward to? Are you most looking forward to seeing what happens now that they're up?
Now that they're up, I want to see where they go with it. And this was no surprise to any of us, but one of the call-ups that I'm most happy with is Sol Ruka.
Okay.
Yep.
You just think that... practically immediately, you're talking about confronting Liv Morgan, an immediate feud between those two would put butts in seats, as it were.
Okay. So Tim's going for Sol. Cage.
I'm excited for Sol as well. Like I can't wait to see what she does with, a lot of the women on Raw, if she's staying there. It's always nice to have new people kind of come up and work with some of the existing talent and kind of see some different matches and see what they kind of do with different people. She's the one, even though we were all kind of theorized that it was probably going to happen, that is probably the one that I'm looking forward to the most. I'm looking forward to seeing how Ethan Page works with the Raw roster as well. I think he's going to do a very good job. I'm happy that he got his call up as well. So probably those two more than anybody else.
Yeah, for me, Sol is an interesting person because I think she's been one of those that's like, we knew the NXT call up was coming. It's been there for a while. I think for some of us, it was like, should it have happened by now? But they had to wrap up the Zarya storyline before they did. For me, I'm not as intrigued by her, only because we have seen her a bit more on the main roster. She was in the Royal Rumble. She lasted to the final three. We got her, I believe, on the John Cena retirement show because she fought Bayley.
Yeah.
So it was like, we've had those tastes. It's a little bit like Oba Femi. I still want to see what she does. And it's like, Oba, I really want to see what he does moving forward. But it's that kind of thing, like, we've had tastes, and so now we're kind of getting into the actual meal of them. I'm intrigued by, like, Fatal Attraction and what's going to happen with them all coming up as the group with the kind of standing that's there on the SmackDown roster with, like, Charlotte and Alexa and Rhea and some other folk over there, and the fact that they've already laid claim to the big three, that it's kind of like, oh, okay, they're trying to make a statement with them. I'm intrigued because it brought forth that unholy alliance, it looks like, of Rhea, Charlotte, and Alexa. And I will say, I liked the little moment when Rhea comes to visit them and Charlotte puts herself between Alexa and Rhea, like, you're not going to attack my friend. And Alexa had to be like, no, it's okay. It's good. It's good. Don't worry. But it's showing like little things in Charlotte, like how she has changed of like, no, I'm protecting you. Stay back. I really want to see what Blake Monroe does on the main roster. I thought she got a good sampling down at NXT, but I think her character is really made for the big stage. And so I'm looking forward to something like her and Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
Her and Rhea, because I think she can play physical with Rhea, and it's just kind of intriguing. You know, we saw the work that she did with Toni Storm, and it's kind of like, okay, you're not afraid to go to some places. Now let's see what happens. It'll be interesting to see Ricky Starks on the main roster as well, where you know, he's one of those people like Ethan Page, like Rusev that and Cody that have come over from AEW. And so it's that, like, and he's one of Cody's boys. So it's that kind of thing. Like, is he going to get that kind of initial push and get going to see if he can make it on the big time? Because I know that was some of the claim of, you know, after he left AEW, some of their fans were kind of like, oh, well, he's really not that big. And it's that, like, okay, was it just the fact of they didn't put him in great storylines? Because he got to work with Punk, he got to work with Cody, he's, you know, he worked with Sting. Is it just a matter of how he was presented, or is it he has a ceiling? So I think that could be interesting to see where he kind of places. Hendry's not a surprise call-up for me. We all knew he was coming up.
Yeah.
And time to see what he does on the big stage as well. So we've talked about people coming in, coming up. Now, unfortunately, we're going to talk about the people who recently were shown the door. So for those of you who don't know, I have a list of the April releases from WWE. These are the post-WrestleMania, and this is across WWE, NXT, Evolve. They've talked about kind of clearing out some of that developmental after a couple, you know, after about 6-8 months, because if they don't show promise, then what's the point of keeping them around, essentially? So I'm going to read through this list really quick, and then we'll talk about it. Up towards the top, we have Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, Kairi Sane, basically all of the Wyatt Six, so Uncle Howdy, a.k.a. Bo Dallas, Nikki Cross, Dexter Lumis, Eric Rowan, Joe Gacy, from AAA, Santo Escobar, who had recently re-signed with the company, the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, Apollo Crews, Andre Chase, Zoe Stark, who was apparently cleared to come back recently, but had been on the injured reserve for a long time, Alba Fire, who had recently been in storylines with Chelsea Green and the Secret Hervis. Tyra Mae Steele, that is the Olympic gold medalist, and who had come up through the LFG group. Serena Linton, who was also a LFG person. Tyson and Tyreek. Chris Island, Malik Blade, Trill London, and Luca Crucifino. Any of these a bit of a surprise to anyone here?
Io Sky, number one.
Who?
I mean, Kairi Sane. I was just reading up on the Io Sky while Brent was talking.
I was going to say, Io Sky was not released. In fact, her significant other has been signed to WWE recently.
Yes.
That's what I was reading, yeah.
Evil is coming.
Evil's on its way to WWE. But yeah, no, Kairi. Her release is right at the very top of the list for me.
Why would you say?
Well, ever since they put her and Asuka together as basically the foil for Io and as well Ripley, they've just been leading up a storyline where I've been waiting for it and expecting it's eventually going to come. It's not going to come now. Kairi and Asuka wind up facing off against each other, and that was a match. I would have very much, you know, I was hoping like crazy, right, Casey?
Yep.
I mean, those two going at it, hell yeah, shut up and take my money. But you know, like the whole thing about it and the way that, they were telling the story that they were telling leading up to, you know, her last match. I just, you know, finding out she was, I think, the third person on Friday I saw that got released. That just came across as a huge shocker to me. So that's number one on my list of surprises. Number one on my list of disappointments was come on, give me a sec, I'll think of her name.
Zelina?
Not Zelina. Nikki? I'm not Nikki? Surprised she got, hey,
Zoe.
Yeah, that's it. Zoe Stark on the shelf, recovering, just getting cleared to come back, and they're like, yeah, the door's that way. Okay. That was probably my top disappointment, but you know, like right up there, in second place, the entire Wyatt Six faction. They got thrown together as a tribute, basically, right? But to let every single last one of them go? Wow.
Well, I think when it comes to the Wyatt Six, they fall into that fatal attraction kind of thing where it's like, okay, if you let one or two of them go, number one, which are going to be like the one or two, and two, what do the other three or four do? Because if you get rid of part of the funhouse, which is what they all kind of represented, it feels incomplete at that point. So it's like, okay, if you get rid of, for let's say, you know, for example, and the thing I will say about this is they said that they were releases. They didn't fully explain if they were non-contract renewals in some cases, which could have been the case for the Wyatts. It could be someone asked for their release. We don't know. And then in other cases, it could be just, as we heard from Zelina Vega, they may have been TKO moves. Because apparently the phone number that she got for her call wasn't from WWE, it was from TKO.
No. Well, because she got the call from TKO doesn't mean it was TKO's decision, but it doesn't mean it wasn't.
Well, she also came out and said that it was TKO's decision.
Yes. So, yes. I know she came out and said it was TKO. However, that could be sour grapes. You never know. But one that does kind of sort of surprise me a little bit, as well as Aleister Black getting let go.
That one was a little surprising to me for the fact that he was one of the people who jumped ship from AEW.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be one of those, like, we're going to keep you around a bit. We're going to show that we can do something with you.
And they never did.
Well, and the thing is it was very interesting to see some responses on social media about that release. Namely, a couple of fans put out that maybe Aleister could go back to AEW, and some current AEW stars were not in the affirmative about it.
They weren't too thrilled with the thought.
No, I believe it was Sean Dean and Max Caster, and Sean Dean is in charge of like the developmental side of AEW, and both of them just said, nah, brah, we're good.
Yeah.
So it was quite intriguing. And I mean, we had all heard that Aleister was kind of wanting his way out of AEW. So maybe he had, I wouldn't say burned some bridges, but maybe rubbed some people the wrong way with how he acted or engaged in his conduct at AEW. That, yeah, maybe that grass ain't going to be so green over there. And who knows, maybe Tony doesn't want him back.
Yeah, he may have burned a bridge or two over in AEW, potentially.
But
one more disappointment for me, Motor City Machine Guns. Once again, you know how I feel about them, Casey.
Do I?
Don't you? I thought you did.
If I did, I don't remember.
Okay, well, Brent knows how I feel about the Machine Guns. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always nice to see them on TV every week, when they were on TV every week. But I just, for me, it's a disappointment that they're gone.
You okay?
Yeah. Machine Guns are definitely kind of a bigger surprise for me, because like they hadn't been there for very long, and when they came in, they got, you know, featured a lot, and then sort of just disappeared. And I don't know if I don't know why that happened. Let's not kid ourselves, the tag division in the WWE always gets kind of put on the back burner when they sort of have a lot of stuff going on. So they might be a victim of that. It is hard to say. But yeah, I was surprised that they got let go so soon. Kairi was also a bit of a surprise, just based on the fact that like she was actively being used on a regular basis. They had that whole thing going on with her and Asuka and Io. So it'll be kind of interesting to see where they go with that whole thing, or how they sort of swerve around it or audible it or whatever they want to do. I wasn't as surprised with Aleister Black and Zelina's. I think maybe Tim was. Aleister didn't seem to be used too much, even from the time they brought him back. I kind of had this like weird feeling that they sort of didn't know what to do with him, as far as like how he may have wanted to portray that character. They sort of, I don't know, they kind of had him just jumping around, and storyline wise, it just didn't seem to be clicking with anything. Zoe Stark, while I am sad that she's gone, because she's a great wrestler, she has spent a large percentage of the time since she had been called up to the main roster injured. So I'm not like overly surprised that she got released. It is disappointing that she did, though, because she had a lot of potential to do really good things. And I think, you know, her knee injury and then this most recent one, I think that kind of, it kind of like hindered her career a little bit. I don't think she's going to, she'll be picked up somewhere real quick, and I think she'll be fine because she's a great wrestler and has got a lot of talent. I agree with the sentiment of the White Six. You can't kind of keep some of those guys around, because once you're kind of like in that sort of echelon of a character like that, where do you go if everybody else leaves? You have that case in point of like when you split Rowan and even I can't remember the name that they used for him.
Missing Gazing?
No. Like when, I can't remember his WWE name, but it was Brody Lee.
Luke Harper.
Yeah. So like when Harper and Rowan sort of split from Bray Wyatt, they sort of were on their own for a little bit, and then that clearly didn't work. So then they put them to get back together as a tag team, and then that worked for a little bit, and then they sort of ran. But like everybody kind of just knew them as like they're the Wyatt guys. They should be doing Wyatt things. And because of the fact that they just kind of got separated from Bray, and Bray's character sort of evolved to a point where they didn't need, he didn't need other guys, they got released. And then obviously Rowan, when he got brought back, he got brought back right back into the Wyatt Sixfold. So being part of that group, well, awesome and a great tribute to Bray Wyatt and all that stuff. You kind of get, once you're sort of in that group in WWE, you're kind of in that group in WWE. There aren't too many directions they can go with that, because everybody's going to see them going forward as, oh, they're the Wyatt Six guys. They're the Wyatt Six guys, no matter how they sort of like refurbish their characters. So not as surprising. I'm sad that they're gone. They should have done a lot more with that, but they didn't really. So yeah, those are kind of like the main ones for me.
And let me preface this. No one ever wants to see someone lose their job. Whenever we get these lists, I'm always, you know, you always see the list, you see names on it, and honestly, you see the number of names on it, and you just kind of go, oh man. I think with some of these, you look at them and you kind of go, I can see maybe why front office would say certain things about individuals. Luca Crucifino, not really a surprise, especially after the breakup of the family in NXT.
Yeah.
I know that he was getting some run on Evolve, but also, like, if you're on NXT and you're put on Evolve, they're giving you seasoning, and I don't even think he was really getting featured there, that it's that kind of point, like, you're probably not long for the world. One that kind of surprised me, honestly, was Tyra Mae Steele, because they put a lot behind her, being the, I believe she was the season one winner of LFG with Jasper Troy. She had the Olympic gold medalist thing, but also, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, and I kind of link it a little bit to Zoe Stark. I think they can perform well. Maybe she wasn't developing at the level that they wanted her to, but I mean, she's athletic. Personality-wise, I think left a lot to be desired, because I think with her, she was just kind of like big smiley, which can get you so far. With Zoe Stark, I can't tell you what her personality was, because it's like, I remember she's very athletic, but she got paired with Shayna Baszler for a while, because I think they were like, well, we'll put two badasses together because they can't really talk, and we'll let them just go out there and beat people up. And then Shayna went away, and it's kind of like, oh, well, because I don't think Zoe's really going to cut much of a promo. Andre Chase, when Chase U died the first time, that was pretty much the writing on the wall. They tried to do a second version of it. It didn't last long, and I don't know if you really repackage Andre Chase from the Chase U mentality.
Yeah, it's hard.
Apollo Crews is finally off main event, which is basically, I think, where he was. I think he got some run down in AAA as well, but I think he fit into the same mold of, he is a great performer, like, athletically. Fantastic. He can do things in the ring. I forget, what was his independent name? UA Nation or something like that?
I'm not 100% sure.
But I know, like, independent-wise, people were really excited at the possibility of like what happens when he comes into the market. I think it's going to be kind of like a ricochet where it's like he's going to be really flashy on the independents because that's what he can do. But yeah, I'm not sure. Santos Escobar, I think that's if you saw him perform in AAA, which is where they brought him back to, he looked really interesting down there. And I don't know if interesting's in a good way. Like, some people thought he may have had some issues down in AAA, and that's probably what led to this. Because I know he was just recently re-signed, too. He had that issue where his contract was up, they re-signed him, they put him down in AAA, and then he just never seemed to click, or, I don't know, maybe he had some stuff going on down there, maybe he wanted a way out. Kairi Sane and Aleister Black has been talked about the fact of, like, yeah, they Kairi surprises me because she was in a bigger storyline, although I think you can write her off in terms of Asuka being like, she's disappointed me for too long, I sent her back. Like, she, yeah, you know, she doesn't deserve to be here, so I sent her home. And then if you ever wanted to bring her back, or if she ever wants to come back, you can fit her back in. Although, I don't know if after the second time she has been let go this way, if it's going to be, you know, if she'll want to walk through the door again. Who knows? Maybe she asked for her release at this point. Again, we're not sure. Motor City Machine Guns, it's hard because, yeah, they came in like a ball of fire, but also, and this is my contention with the Wyatt Six. With the Wyatt Six, you've got them as a giant faction, right? There's only so many things that you can do with the big faction itself. So they ran into American Alpha at the time, or whatever, Chad Gable's group, the All-Americans, I'll call them. Of the Creeds and Ivy, and they had their feud there. And then from that, they basically transitioned to the MFTs, which is who they've been feuding with for the longest time over the Lantern. And once they got out of that, the question was going to be, okay, well then who do they face? Because there's no real big factions aside from, like, the MFTs. And, I mean, you could put some people together for it, but I don't know. When it comes with that big of a group sometimes, and I mean, we see this with other places when they have large factions. It's like, typically it's faction warfare, but you need to have big numbers on both sides, or otherwise it's like, okay, so is this group going to face off in the tag division, and this group going to go do that? Because then you've got one or two people who are always just kind of left in the ether at that point. So when you have a group as big as, you know, the Wyatt Six, it's like, do you limit yourself in what you can ultimately do with them? Although it is still surprising with the fact that they did get the Hollywood Horror Night stuff, so it got them some big kind of run in publicity off of it. So, in a way, a little bit shocking for them. But, so, I'll pose this one last question to you all. If you could keep one person, or like one set of people from these releases, who would it be and what would you do with them back on the roster?
Well, for me, I'd bring back Kairi Sane and immediately put her in the program against Asuka. And you mentioned it. Asuka says, well, she's not good enough. I sent her away. I sent her back home. Or she's let me down. I sent her back home. Set it up where Kairi is coming back for revenge. Babyface run against Asuka. You could really, really tell a good story with that. Cash?
That is a good point. But when I look at that, I go, in the long run, after that is all concluded, what happens with Kairi? Where do you go with her?
Turn her heel and sick her on Io Sky.
But, like, she was just healed. That was the whole thing. And, like, she was the one having the crisis of conscience. So having her, like, break off from Asuka to become a face, just to have her immediately become a heel on her own, doesn't seem like
it puts her back in the same spot she was in.
Yeah. And
keep her baby face and put her together with Io.
Yeah, you could do that, but, like, I mean, once again, like, Kairi came back and all three of them were together and they were part of, like, New Damage Control, and yes, they were all bad, and you could probably have, like, Io and Kairi go on, like, a baby face tag team run and do some stuff there. And that'd be fun. Kairi never got much of a singles program, and I don't know if that is, like, has to do with, like, what the factors are that they didn't do that, considering she did so well in NXT. Maybe there's more of, like, language barrier that we don't know about, or some other factors that we're not thinking about that, you know, other factors that might have led to her to her release. Like you say, she could have asked. I know that there was always stuff going around about like how homesick some of the Japanese wrestlers get because they're like half a world away from their home. And I know that Kyrie has, at the very least, she's married, so she's got some sort of family involved. I don't know if they were with her in America or not, so maybe that was a factor that led to it.
That would put a strain on things, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's stuff there. It was nice that, you know, the three of them, her and Io and Asuka kind of had each other, and then to an extent, Shinsuke was there too. So it was kind of nice that there were a few Japanese people that could kind of stick together and maybe make each other feel more comfortable. But, you know, there's a possibility that wasn't enough for her. I don't see like a long-term thing for her. Bringing her back would have been good. I would also bring back the Motor City Machine Guns. There were a lot of matchups that I wanted to see them have that kind of never came to fruition. So I think it would be nice to kind of bring them back and kind of have them go up against some of those people that we never got to see them wrestle on a regular basis or at all, due to the fact that they were kind of there for such a short time. So like, I think I would pick the Machine Guns over Kyrie. I think there's just a lot more left on the table with them. Not that I disagree with Tim's pick of bringing Kyrie back. I just feel like there's more gas in the tank with the Machine Guns.
I can see that. I don't know if they were inhibited by their style when it comes to like tag work and what was going on. Like, I don't know if it was the fact of like, did they have to slow down the way they normally perform to be able to interact with some of the teams that are on the roster?
Yeah, they're a better tag team than the current roster.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily better tag team, but I'm wondering if maybe their speed just is better for a different platform. Like, no offense, if they go to AEW, I think there are teams there like the Bucks and, you know, Private Party if they ever come out of witness protection again.
It's not like the Bucks and the Machine Guns have ever squared off anywhere.
No, I mean, the Bucks made one appearance in AEW and then took the WWE money. But I think, like, I think the style that they have works a little bit better with certain groups. And I think for WWE, they want more, like, they can have, I think, someone like the New Day or the Usos work with them. But some of the other tag teams, I think, are selling more on power and story in a sense. So as much as the Machine Guns, I think, could still have some good matches, I don't know. Because I honestly was intrigued by what was going on with them and Candace. And I was going to be like, okay, maybe they'll turn heel with her and we can see where this is going. And then, of course, the news hit. But I think storyline-wise, that could have been interesting. But I just don't know if stylistically they would have performed to the level people wanted them to. Because I think no matter what, I think there's a contingent of fans that as long as the guns or the Motor City Machine Guns were in WWE, they were going to be a disappointment because it's not the Machine Guns that everyone knows.
You're not entirely incorrect.
I'm always a fan of Aleister Black. I think that was more personality issues, maybe. Like, I think he wanted to do a certain thing. Maybe WWE just didn't quite meet that same level. Ultimately, I think he just wanted to work with his wife again and be closer to her because being on two different being in two different companies, especially ones that travel as much as they do, not easy, I'm guessing. Being like, oh, I see my wife occasionally.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Buddy Murphy and Rhea are a bit of a surprise when it's like they're with other companies and yet they're making it work. Good on them. But Naomi coming back to WWE makes sense. I think the fact that they're, for lack of a better term, released together could help. The fact that it's like they can just be together and go wherever they need to or want to that way. I always liked his presentation. I think it can work in some places. It's just a matter of people need to be able to be like, okay, yes, we're going to let it go this way. I think in AEW, it worked for a little bit before I think even Tony Khan was like, I don't know what to do with these guys. Because they felt really static in the trios division after a while. Would you agree, Keish?
Yeah. They did, for sure. So, I mean, he could go back there and maybe do something singles and with Zelina. It's tough to say. I guess it would be a matter of, like, what they have creatively for him. But, you know, those two are the type that would probably be okay doing more independence and stuff as well.
maybe a TNA.
Yeah, TNA would be fine with him too. Like,
imagine if he gets woven in with the Rosemary, like, undead universe.
That would be fun.
Yeah, maybe they wind up doing a match, doing a show in Calgary for IPW.
That's always possible, too.
MLW is looking to make some.
I wasn't joking when I said that, by the way.
I mean, as long as they're not on TV.
Yeah.
That 90-day compete clause. But yeah, I mean, as I said, there is the long list of people who unfortunately got their papers, and we wish them the best in whatever their future, you know, holds for them. And honestly, what I thought was really kind of nice was when you saw, like, Nikki put out her notice and Zelina put out her notice, you saw some of the people who had been released in the past, Stephanie DeLinder, I can't remember, Mustafa Ali, were kind of like, hey, it's not the end. Like, you'll find a niche. You'll be fine. And I thought that was kind of a nice thing to see. And plus, we have the stories like Drew and some others where it's like, yeah, you've been released, but it's not the end trip for you. You can all, and I mean, heck, Bo was on his second run with the company. Kyrie had come back. Alistair had come back. So this may not be like the closed door for them. It might just be, you know, like a temporary, you know, the lease ran up. And so,
yeah, well, and I mean,
come back later.
It'll be one of those things. It's just kind of like, you know, look at what Matt Cardona did when he got released and how big of a name on the independents he became, considering he, like, basically was never on the independents. And he kind of, like, I think last year when the releases happened, he threw that tweet of, or post, whatever you want to call it, of like, this isn't the end, it is just the beginning. Now it's time for you to, like, get out there and really put in the work. And, you know, for some of those people, if they want to get back there, maybe they've got to figure out how to, like, do their own version of Matt Cardona, do their own version of Drew McIntyre, figure
Chelsea
out
Green.
Chelsea Green, Cody, like, all these guys who left and came back, they went out there and they basically made themselves, to take words out of Cody's mouth, undeniable. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are going to be a couple of people who just kind of use their name to try and get a few things here and there, and maybe they'll kind of, like, disappear. There are going to be a few people on that list who go, you know what, maybe this isn't for me, and they'll move on to other things right away. But there are a few guys on there. I mean, the Machine Guns are going to be fine because they've been a tag team bouncing around all these companies forever. Like, those are guys you don't worry about. And then there are a couple names on here who just might go out, put in the work, and, like, really surprise us. Some of those guys who have been in WWE for quite a few years that, like, you know, maybe they'll go out there and they'll find that spark and passion that they had for pro wrestling that, you know, maybe they lost along the way because they got into that, like, big company routine. And, you know, like Apollo Crews, if he really, you know, puts his head down and goes for it, I think he'll, like, find something that maybe he forgot he had. Zoe Stark's just, like, in-ring talent alone, going out to the indies and trying some stuff. Maybe there are some things that led to her release that she could maybe figure out on the indies that might bring her back. There are a lot of people on this list that can kind of use this time to, like, talk to some, like, figure out what they need to get back there and do the work to get back. And so it'll be interesting to see, just like last year, the year before, like, who does what that are on these lists and kind of what they do, where they end up, and maybe they circle back around and come back to the company.
Yeah, this is a chance to reinvent themselves or to take a next step to help kind of elevate them fully to what could be next. But that being said, we've talked about Postmania, we've talked about the call-ups, we've talked about the releases. I think that's about good for this week. What do you guys think?
Yep.
We did a good job pilling time.
All right, so that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Just to give you a preview of the week ahead, Monday night, as soon as Raw ends, we've got the Raw post show with Rock and Lindsay. They're going to be talking all things that happen on Monday Night Raw. Typically, Thursday nights, we've got the rack. However, this week, week off. So, no rack on this Thursday. We will be back, though, Saturday night, midnight-ish, so about 11:30 Eastern for CB Radio. Your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. We'll have some form of shenanigans and other stuff planned. And then join us back here next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. M. Oh, yes, yeah, we'll be previewing Backlash.
What's that?
We've got Backlash coming, so... That's what we'll be doing next week.
That background music's too loud.
But we've got some plugs, so Tim, you have any socials you want to let known?
You should follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to still call it, at Flames Forum. I think that's where you should follow me, because that's where I am pretty much every day. I post stuff.
Casey, do you have some socials that you occasionally use and want to plug?
You can find my existing social medias at Kyle Driver. My posts, like, the amount I post is the same occurrence as the amount of times Tim doesn't post, if that makes any sense.
All right. You can find me on a variety of social media, Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. You can also find the show on Twitter and X at Wild Talk Radio, as well as at WTR Sunday Night. And you can also find the Facebook group, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, but you still have a free sub that you can click that purple button below the video screen that says subscribe and support the channel for free. Or you can help out the network by using the Epic creator code ROCKINSOCK when visiting the Epic Game Store for all of your needs, because we are hashtag Epic Partners. Tim, send us home.
If we got stuff to talk about next week, we're going to talk about it 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Join us next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.